The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
What's going on, you know? So it's always fun being here, and we don't have, you know, dogs and cats in the zoo interrupting us. But you know what? That's part of the fun of The Gathering, because we all gather together with, you know, four-leggeds and two-leggeds and the whole nine yards, don't you think?
Yep. Yeah, that was the Animal Farm last week.
Oh, my God. They all wanted to have their say last week. It was just incredible. And, you know, it is what it is.
So here we are, animal-free. Yeah. And I'm not living here. We're hanging out here at a little urban farm.
Yes.
Anita's got her garden out there. She just brought in all sorts of vegetables for us, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Fun?
Yeah. And they're freakishly big. So I'm excited. Like, one tomato will feed me for a week. So, yeah. So I'm excited. We have a lot going on right now and some cool stuff to talk about before we get into our topic of the week.
Which is?
Death.
Yes.
We're talking about death and dying in a maybe less traditional sense, mm-hmm. you know, and so we'll get into that in a little bit, but we both have had things going on that are just cool and crazy and wild and woolly.
I feel like we're both really scattered, which, you know, I'm kind of scattered a lot, but you've been scattered a lot this
summer. I have, and that's been weird. I mean, I don't want to say I don't get scattered, but
oh
I
gosh.
Don't usually get scattered, and not to this degree anyway,
no.
And it's been... Yeah, but that's okay. It's
like
good
I
for
said,
me.
This summer has been kind of a summer of discontent in a lot of ways.
And well, I think a lot of people have been struggling with all the energies that have been going on. It's been an emotional summer for a lot of people, and that lines up with a lot of astrological things that have been going on. So
yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So I just want to put it out there that Heidi and I are with Squatchers, and we will be in Cryptid. We will be at CryptidCon next week in Frankfort, Kentucky. So anyone who is listening out there who lives in Kentucky, come and join the fun. It's really a fun event. You will love it.
I haven't been there, so I'm excited to go.
Yep. We were, last year was the very first year. Nick Groff is the one that puts it on, and we know Nick Groff is a paranormal investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there. He will be there too. And it's just a really fun time. We met a lot of Bigfoot researchers down there, and this year, I think a lot of the same ones are going to be there. Nick Graff will be there. Bobo's going to be there. Cliff Brockman, who, by the way, is phenomenal. Oh, my gosh, that man is just amazing. I got to be on an interview with him on The Calling a couple of weeks ago. And, oh, Heidi, you should listen to that because we just let him go. He was like, oh, he just, you know, had all this amazing stuff to say. So he's going to be there and... Mr. Gimlin from the Patterson film is going to be there as well.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of really fun people there. And we'll get to, you know, Amy and Bill Lancaster from Our Cultured Bigfoot will be there. I can't wait to see them. We were just chatting today about how we're really excited to you know, hang out. Long drive, but it's very fun. Squatchers. So last week, I just got to say this. So Squatchers, we went out, there were three of us that went out to the woods to the Stick Structure Quadrant, which we talk about quite frequently because it's so amazing. And our newbie, Cindy, had a really good idea to build our own stick structures among the stick structures there. So we did that. And there are pictures up on our Facebook page of these structures, of what the trees looked like before we put them there and then after. And so now we'll go back there in about a month and see if anything happened.
Yep.
But what I can say is it's hard work to do that. And, you know, we just used little, well, they weren't little. They were big, you know, this big around and long. But some of the structures.
If you guys couldn't see what she was doing, it was about 7 inches
around.
Sorry,
I'm not on TV.
Yeah.
Okay. But But some of the structures that we found, like the ones we found up in the Northwoods a couple of weeks ago, that was like a ginormous stick structure. There is no way any man could have done that. I mean, seriously.
Well, not without equipment.
No. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So what is
actually... And how are you supposed to get equipment in there? What kind of equipment? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Yeah, doesn't make sense.
These stick structures, of course, are a lot smaller, but it still takes a lot of energy to do them, and it's hard, and, you know, we all got dirt in our eyeballs, you know, because we're pulling, you know, up there and stuff. I'm sorry, nobody can see me.
It's very entertaining, though.
It is. It is. But anyway, so we're really excited to see what happens to those over the course of the next month. So we'll be back there checking it out. And then on the one, you know, my favorite stick structure up there, that really big long one that's like 20 feet long.
Yep.
I took a white birch bark stick that I found and placed it strategically in there to see if it gets moved. And I wedged it. So there's no way like a deer walking
can
through
can come there. And wrestle it out.
It wouldn't blow down from the wind. It's wedged. So if something...
Is it up or down by the ground?
It's up. So I put it up. Like, I have pictures. So I can show you those and I can put it up. And it's got a little B on the top. So it sits, one of the sticks
cool.
sits right in there. So
well, that'll be interesting.
I know. It was a very fun little deal. So that was fun. One more thing about Squatchers that I just have to say, though, is a couple of weeks ago, this guy messaged Squatchers on our Facebook page, and he went on, his first line was, "Unfortunately, I am not a woman." And then he went on to tell me about how much he adores women and that, you know, he really respects them with all we do, you know, running from morning, noon till night. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's really long. But at the end of it, he says, His last paragraph was, "I have all the confidence in the world that Bigfoot will be found because women are working on this. Good luck."
Yeah, that's awesome.
I thought that was awesome. This man is from Texas. So I every once in a while we get some really cool messages like that, and we just have to, you know, we just have to talk about them.
That's cool.
Yeah. So you have really been crazy busy too. What,
yeah.
So what have you been?
Well, it was interesting. We, a group of us, there was, we went on a home clearing last week. It was the day after our show. So we haven't been here since then. We were in a town that's southwest of the Twin Cities, and it was Tim and Kevin and Amy and I, we went down to do this clearing. And what was interesting is this guy, he has a wife and two kids, and they've had activity in their house that they lived in prior to the one that they just moved in 3 months ago. They've had tons of activity. It's been building, you know, and once they had kids 5 years ago, they have two kids now, activity kind of increased and weird stuff was happening. And they moved into this new house and they sage and smudge the old house. "Do not follow us. You are not welcome in the new house." They smudge the heck out of it, right? And they move in the new house, smudge the new house, ready. No, nothing's in here. It's clean. And activity started. Like right away. And it's actually more intense now than it was in the old house. And he said that the reason, well, he was going to call or try and, you know, start looking for someone because he's kind of used to it because he's had activity happening in his houses since he was a kid growing up. And so he's just like, well, that's kind of what happens sometimes. And so he and his wife were laying in bed, getting ready, you know, to go to bed or whatever. And they have two cats, and the cats, one of them must have been running around by the curtains or something. So he took one of the bed pillows and threw it down where he couldn't see where the cat was, but down towards where the curtains were moving. And the pillow got thrown back at them, back up from the floor. And then they look and the cats are sitting up by the head of the bed, not anywhere near. And they're both staring at this spot like, they're like freaked out, these cats were. And of course the wife is like, nope, find someone. I'm done with this. And so then before he can even like start looking, the next day or the day after, this, the two kids share a bedroom, and she was in and out of the bedroom, moving stuff around, opening dresser drawers, doing laundry or I don't know, something. And she went out of the room and all the drawers were open on this dresser, one of the dressers. And there's like it's not even a toddler bed. It's bigger than a toddler bed, but it's not exactly a twin size bed. It's like an in-between, and I've never seen a bed this size before, but it's a big, wooden, very sturdy bed.
Yeah.
And she left the room, and she came back in, and the bed was slid all the way against the dresser, so it had been slid all the way across the room, pushed up against the dresser, so it closed all the dresser drawers and everything. It was smashed up against the, and there was some toy stuck in between, it got squished in between everything. And she was like, nope, man, we're done. And she grabbed all the kids and went outside till dad came home. She's like, we're not even going in the house. You better figure out who can come fix this. We're done. And the bed got moved again one more time.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Before, because once he contacted me, then he got a hold of me the next day. And we were in process of setting up a date because I had to check with the team and who can go and who can, and what dates work. And they could only do weekends. And oh my gosh, weekends are really full.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting, so by the time we set a date, which we ended up doing it on a weeknight because that could get us there faster, the bed had gotten shoved again against the dresser. And they're like, absolutely not. But it was interesting because they said, once we set the date, everything stopped.
Oh, because they didn't want you to come, so they thought they'd be good for a while, so maybe they'd stop.
And I told them before we got off the phone that last time, I said, do not cancel. Three things are going to happen. It's going to stay the same, it's going to stop, or it's going to get worse, and I'm sorry if it gets worse.
Yeah.
But don't cancel.
Right.
Because they're trying to work you to see what it'll take to get us to not come.
Yes.
And that means that we're going to be effective, so don't do it. And so everything stopped, but both of them got sick. Really sick. First one, then the other. No kids got sick. No, but it was really interesting that they both got kind of sick, and but all the activity stopped. So we get there, and we're doing a clearing. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but there was a entry point that we found during the clearing. So we went back to really close that off, and it was in this closet area. And what was interesting is Kevin had the SLS camera, so he's watching as everything kind of maps in on those video cameras, and so he's watching as Tim and I go into this little closet area, and as we're in there closing down this entry point and sealing off this opening, this entity comes out of that little closet, but it goes out through an energetic doorway that was in the exact same spot as the head of the bed in the next room.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So we're thinking, and I was so glad that Kevin caught this on film.
Yeah.
Because is that why the bed got pushed out of the way? Because that is the doorway that this thing was using to get in and out. And it was irritated or mad or look what I can do or whatever its reason. But it was interesting too, that when it got pushed out of that room, I went in because he said it's in here now and it's in that spot where the bed was, you know, where the bed gets pushed. So I came around the corner and went into that room, and it went out. And it headed out towards the front of the house, so out through the wall. And then we sealed all that up too.
Good.
And then it was done.
Yeah.
And what was really cool is their youngest son, who is 10 months old, has not slept a full night. And that's not uncommon for kids, but has really had a hard night. Since scream bloody murder some nights.
Well, yeah.
She emails me the next morning. He slept like a lamb.
Wow.
Not one peep all night.
Awesome.
Slept great. Not one issue sleeping, not going to bed, not all. I mean, he slept all through the night, never done that since he's been born.
That's cool.
Right. And they
good
share
job.
A room. Right?
Good job, team.
How cool is that?
Yes.
So it felt good to be able to take care of that, but it was so cool. I hate to say this, you know, it's cool to catch this stuff on video.
Yeah,
you know?
Braden is saying that he saw it on Facebook, and then Swanee, who is Kevin, said incredible footage. So I'll have to take a look at that too.
Yeah, I posted it on the MPRS Facebook page.
Oh, you
page.
Did?
Yeah. And we have tons of evidence coming through from it. Amy sent me a bunch of audio, and I still have to get through all that so I can post it. Once I do, I'll post it on Facebook too, because I think it's important to share this with people so they can see, like, this stuff is real, because these people thought they were nuts.
Oh, yeah.
They thought they were losing their minds.
Well, that's why they call us, right? They think they're just absolutely nuts.
Well, that's sometimes why they don't call.
Well, that's true too, but if they...
Because they just think, are we nuts? Who's going to believe us? Yeah. So it was great. I'm really... really happy, and I am happy to work with such a cool team because they're just solid, and that's awesome. And I'm, grateful. So that was one of the things, and there's been a ton of other things that have happened since last week, but that was the one big to-do that I thought was pretty interesting, and it just felt good to help them because they're a nice family. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So there it is. There's mine.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We've been, you know, and we're heading into such a busy time now. I could only imagine what the next 8 weeks are going to entail, honestly, you know?
Yeah. It's already, I mean, Tim and I now have been doing 1 to 2 clearings a week.
Yeah. Craziness. Yeah.
It's already ramping
up. Well, you know, we've been talking for a month about how we've been seeing spirits walking everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can you imagine now when the veil starts thinning at the end of
more.
September?
Yeah.
How much more it's going to be crazy.
It's already getting kind of nuts. So yeah, it should be an interesting fall.
Yeah. Oh my
Yeah.
goodness. Ah, get ready. Get ready. Oh
Buckle up.
my goodness. So tonight we're talking about death, which oofta, you know, we should, that's, I guess we're coming into the thinning of the veil time, so we're coming into that season anyway, right? Lots of people pass away in the fall and the winter, more so than the rest of the year. And here we are at the end of summer, so a lot of the vegetation is dying off.
Yeah, it is a time of transition, and it just when we were here last time, and this is how this topic came up. So technically, it's Superfan Anita's
Yes,
topic request.
it is.
So thank you
It
for
is.
the topic, because we were talking about
She's laughing.
and blushing. So we were talking about somehow we started talking about death, which isn't that unusual considering we're paranormal investigators and investigating and looking for spirits. But we started talking about death, as in like the human death and dying process. And I mentioned a few things, and it became an interesting discussion just with
Right.
questions and answers and things. So we ended up deciding to do it next time we were over here as a topic for the show. And it actually comes up, this topic comes up a lot in the studio when I'm working with people, because people come to me when someone has transitioned and they're looking for answers or closure. So this is a question I get all the time. At the studio, when I'm working with clients, the answers that I give aren't as easy and delicate sometimes as people would like. But that's what I think makes this a really interesting topic. Not if you're deeply involved emotionally, because you're in the process of working with someone who's transitioning or has someone, then it's a hard topic to talk about. But outside of being in that big emotion, it's very interesting, I think. So I wanted, to just talk about it. And, if people have questions in the chat room, you can certainly shoot those at us and we'll answer them, because you have, insight into this too, Steph, on just the paranormal side of
Well,
things
and you know,
too.
one of the things that I thought was interesting is and I won't mention her name, but a really good friend of mine was up this past weekend, and she lost her guy, who I knew very well, and you guys know who I'm talking about because he died. He was like 37 years old in April. He had a
Oh.
seizure and passed away, and I've talked about him before, and they were both really good friends of mine. And Brad, and she sees him. She knows he's there. I know he's there too, because at the funeral I saw him, you
Oh,
know.
cool.
And so now she's, you know, she said in October she wants Casey and I to come down and do an EVP session to see if we can get him to talk to us, and then she wants us to cleanse the home. What are you thinking about that?
Well, the thing about doing an EVP session at the home, you know how I feel about investigating.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing if you're going to do a cleanse right away, then I guess that's fine. It's as long as you absolutely do that, because you know this too. When you
Yes.
do an EVP session or anything, you're opening up a door,
Yes.
and it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be the one that answers
Yes.
or that walks through it. He might even
Right.
be there, and he might not be able to
Yes.
communicate, or someone gets to
Exactly.
it first or whatever. So just as long as you're careful.
Right.
I caution anybody, and but you're
Yeah.
experienced with this,
Well, and she used to be a paranormal investigator too.
Oh,
So
so she know. Okay.
she's just ready to let him go, you
Yeah.
know, tell him maybe it's time for you to move on now, you know, because it'll have been 6 months or something. You know
Yeah.
what I mean?
Well,
So
and that's hard too, though, and that
it
goes with our
is.
topic too, because 6 months doesn't mean anything to the other
No,
side.
no,
6 months
no.
could be a second in our world. It could be
Exactly.
60 years in our world. I mean, time is weird when you don't have a body. I mean, weird to
Right.
us. It doesn't
Yes.
have the same linear path that we have here.
Yeah.
So, Superfan Anita asked a question. She's asking, well, why cleanse? Why do the EVP session and cleanse? Because when you're opening that door, he may not be the only one that answers. He may not even answer. We might get other people to come through, and they shouldn't be there at all.
Right.
So as soon as you do the session, you want to cleanse the home to shut all the doors and make sure that nobody is going to be an unwelcome guest that got in through this little open door that was,
Right.
you want to talk to one person, but the door is open. That's like saying,
Right.
I want this beautiful, when I open the screen door at night and it's dark and I've got this light above my door and there's all these creepy bugs out, but there's that really pretty moth out there. I
Yeah.
just want the moth to come in. And so you crack the door and you go,
Yeah.
okay, little moth,
And
come
they
in.
all come in.
And then all this weird,
Yeah.
creepy stuff comes in. Like, you don't get to decide. that it's just the moth. And the moth might be like, I don't know what you're talking about, and takes off. Mm-hmm. And then now you have those creepy stuff inside. The moth is gone, and you're, like, running around with a can of Raid, seriously.
So, same thing. But I think at the same time, I think she wants to tell him if he's there, and I'll be able to tell if he's there, I'm pretty sure. And she will know as well that maybe it's time for him to, cross over, go away, mm-hmm. go on to the next, because I think I think I'll be ready then to say.
Well, and ultimately it's up to the spirit.
It is.
It's free will. They get, even if they're not in the right state, they mm-hmm. at some point will choose, mm-hmm. Or they are choosing by not going. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's an interesting, totally interesting topic, I think. And, like I said, it comes up a lot at the studio because people come in asking what's happening. And what's really hard and what, one of the hardest things to say is because everybody wants to know that their loved one is okay and that they've crossed over and everything's okay.
Yes.
But then they also want information. They want messages. So they want two different things that don't always go hand in hand. And it's really hard to tell someone that they didn't cross over yet and they're not in a place to cross over right now. And that happens a lot mm-hmm. because, the death process is not so black and white. Mm-hmm. It's not so simple. It's not so step 1, 2, 3 done,
Right.
And I had a gal that was asking about a loved one, and I said, well, no. And I can't remember who it was that was asking, or it doesn't matter. But I just remember saying that their loved one is in a place right now where they're getting some healing because they were very confused when they went. And when they transitioned and fully detached from the body, they were very confused and in no way, shape, or form ready to continue. I don't mm-hmm. know that they should have or could have. Mm-hmm. And so I said, no, they're in a holding pattern right now. Like, not a holding pattern, but kind of in a intensive care unit mm-hmm. in a hospital, We've got 1,000 questions from Super Fan. Let me just double check here and see if I've got
one on the chat room too. So we'll have to get to that too. Just a minute.
So have you ever encountered? I don't know that word. Oh, anyone who is not in a better place when they did cross over. Oh, yeah. Okay. So the question: have you ever encountered a spirit that wasn't in a better place?
Mm-hmm.
After they crossed over. Well, I guess crossed over is defining you're moving to a version of heaven or something next.
Right.
And that's not necessarily, it's not just the one step, two step, there you go, you're in heaven or whatever. And this is my understanding. Now, the way I was taught growing up, mm-hmm. because I grew up Catholic, and then this, you're in this, purgatory until you
that's the Catholic
go to
version and
heaven or hell
something else you die and you just go to heaven
stay in this purgatory until you are prayed over
when Jesus was on the cross and he said to the criminals next to him, he said, tonight you'll be in paradise. So I guess that's kind of what a lot of people think,
but there's this understanding that you get it isn't always like that, because I've met quite a few spirits that they have some work to do before mm-hmm. they go somewhere mm-hmm. we'll say better, mm-hmm. cause for lack of a better term,
mm-hmm.
but because they have to atone or make up for, or learn lessons from what they did in their human life in this go round. So, and that isn't always fun.
No,
I mean, I've worked with some spirits that went and they did not like the lessons that they, or the atonement that they mm-hmm. had to do before they get to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was based on their choices that they made here.
Right.
And that's just the way it goes. So they were going to have to do some work before they get to move on.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, so Anita's asking, I thought life is to learn lessons. Well, yes. And we get a series of choices to do that. We have choices throughout our entire life to learn these lessons. And some people choose, different than what it would be to really learn, and follow their soul path. Some people make decisions that hurt others, that hurt themselves. And so do you learn from that? Yes. But sometimes you also then have to go back and atone or, do, spirit work or soul work to before you move on and go to the next, you know, life lesson journey or whatever it is that you're going to be doing next. So yes, we're here to learn lessons, but we're also, we have choices when we're here. And if mm-hmm. those choices are affecting others,
right.
negatively impacting whatever, we sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we'll have to go back and do work before we can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's, I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got...
so there's just ping-ponging, and Gina and Karin are talking about, you know, death, and Gina's got a father-in-law who will be 92, and he sleeps a lot, and is he maybe just transitioning? Yeah, I think that probably could be. You know, that's what happens. You know, they're kind of in and out, and I think they do see the other side.
Yeah, and one of the things that... and I know people know this, but not everybody knows this, is the transition. Cause you know, her father-in-law is, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's probably in that transition process.
Yeah.
And that death process is so, it can be so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't understand. We just say, oh, someone's old
yeah.
or they're sick or whatever, but it's, you know, a lot of times it's part of the transition process that can take a really long time.
Yeah.
And I worked with my group again with Kevin and Amy and Tim and Marilyn too. We were working with a man who's 95 and he has cancer, and it's terminal cancer. I mean, they're not doing anything for him, and he's going to live in his home until he passes. He wanted to go back to where his wife was.
And this is the one you did your clearing.
Yeah. And we've gone out there a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he's seeing more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But I did speak with them. I said, you know, this was a hard conversation to have. I said, but you are in the process of transitioning.
Yeah.
Transitioning doesn't mean you're here and then you're gone. You know, mm-hmm. it can take a long time.
Yeah.
And so as he's slowly integrating more and more with the spirit realm and mm-hmm. this, you know, other dimensions and whatever you want to call it, he's seeing more and more that's just always there.
Yeah.
It's just, we don't see it because
right.
we're so connected to
right.
a human form.
Yeah.
So as he's releasing on this really kind of drawn out journey through this horrible illness, you know, it's awful that he's going through this illness, but he's also on some medication too that might be altering his state a little
right.
bit even more. So he's really starting to integrate with the spirit realm, which is scary, you know. And I'm like, but I hate to tell you this, this stuff is here all the time.
Yeah.
It's just we can't see it
right.
or connect with
and
it
so,
because we're so in our bodies.
When you're journeying like that, the veil for you is very thin, so you all of a sudden you can see.
And then you think your house is haunted. It's like,
yes.
well, it's been like this since
forever.
The day you were born. It's just you didn't see it. You know, and so now you are unfortunately experiencing something you have no knowledge of or have experience with, and it's really scary.
Yeah.
But I don't know how else to tell you other than this is like, as long as they're not hurting you or doing anything to you, it's like try and just,
mm-hmm.
you know, go with it if you can. I mean, how do you explain that to someone that's had 95 years of experience of not dealing with something like this? So
Ghost Dance is saying, did he feel that he was transitioning? So you talked to him about this, and did he understand and realize that what you were saying was probably true?
He was okay hearing it. He
mm-hmm.
he had it already expressed to me that he wants to be with his wife, who had passed away
yes.
about 3 months before.
Yeah.
And he really loves her and misses her
yes.
and wants to be with her. And I said, you will someday when mm-hmm. it's time, but it's not time yet.
Yeah.
But you are in the process. And he has cancer, so this isn't a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, this like he knows it's terminal cancer.
Yeah.
So me just saying the words, it kind of gives him, you know, permission to like open a little bit and just understand that this is going to be a shift. It's going to be different. And that's part of this experience is learning this new world that you're a part of a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
You know, or
rather than
going
yeah.
back to, I should say, really.
So, you know what, it's 8:30. We've already gone through
oh my
30
gosh.
Minutes. And
okay.
so we have a question on the chat line that I was going to talk about too, or ask, you know, talk, you know, so we will do that after the break. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes. And this is the Para X Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
This is ParaX.com, and we are talking about the death process and death, actually.
Yeah, it's been an interesting topic so far.
Yeah, we've had quite a lot of questions from the chat room and from our host, Anita. And this is, actually a really good topic. We've had some good ones that people are really interested in these subjects that we've, talking about the last
week. And it's a subject that is fascinating, and there's so many questions because there's so many ways to die, and does that affect the process of the transition? And, it was interesting, and I'll say this because I was comparing, someone was asking me about this because I had mentioned before this gal was asking, and I told her that this person that she was asking about was not peaceful, crossed over, life is good, I'm okay, tell him I'm okay, or tell her I'm okay. It wasn't like that. It was like, they're kind of like in a hospital right now. And it was a little disturbing for her, but she told me, part of the process, and I think there was Alzheimer's or something. And so it was hard. It was a hard road for this person and for the family. And she started asking questions about death, and maybe this happened last time we were talking too. I can't remember. But I said, well, most often death is pretty messy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody wishes for the peaceful in my sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't wake up. Wouldn't that just be grand and everybody gets mm-hmm. that? But most often it doesn't happen like that. Most often it's unexpected, or it's messy, or it's mm-hmm. illness or whatever. Mm-hmm. And death is messy. Mm-hmm. It's a messy and a lot of times painful process. And if you think about leaving this world, transitioning out of the world, and it's not a peaceful process, it's messy and it's hard and it's painful and whatever. Think about the birth process.
Yeah.
It's the same thing coming in.
Gotcha.
Right? Oh, Nita just about passed out.
Yeah.
So she, yes, just stay with us. So, but if you think about the birth process, it's painful. It's messy. It can be very tragic. It can be very unexpected. All of the same things mm-hmm. that you have with the death process. So why is entering any different than, or exiting any different than entering?
Yes.
It isn't.
Yeah.
It's a messy deal. These human bodies that we have are really, really messy. They are a hot mess. So to leave is almost probably just as messy as coming in.
Right.
But
there's an old saying that life is hard, death is easy.
Well, whoever said that hadn't died yet.
Well, they say that you just let go.
Oh, sure. If you die in your sleep and it's all peaceful, whatever, it's not always that easy.
No, I know.
People can't just let go if they're not aware of what's happening. And so this goes to one of our questions in the chat room is what happens if you're killed
unexpectedly
or there's some kind of trauma or tragedy. Mm-hmm. And that has happened a lot of times when I'm doing work with people or an investigation or a home clearing, where a spirit they're confused. They're not sure what happened. They're not aware that they're passed on. So they're in this limbo, of sorts because they aren't aware. And if no one is there or no one can connect with them. Like, people have spirit guides too. Mm-hmm. And like, here's an example of, I knew a man who was very sick with cancer, and the more sick he got, the more afraid he got to die. And he had gone to church his whole life, but when it came down to it, he was not a believer. You know, when he was now standing at the door of death, he realized he did not have faith, that this is, you know, it was all kind of a dog and pony show for him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't realize it until this moment. He's getting close to death's door, and he's like, I don't want to leave because I think there's nothing. I'm scared to fall into that abyss. And the more freaked out he got, the harder, like, I could see, and I can see, I've worked with a lot of people in hospice, and he was one of them. I can see when people's spirit guides are getting closer. Mm-hmm. And the closer they get, is I can see it's they're closer to their time of releasing fully from their body. So they're getting closer and closer. And I see his spirit guides, and it's like, can you imagine standing around a tree, and there's a little kid up in a tree that climbed up in the tree and then freaked out because he doesn't know how to get down.
Yeah.
And they're standing around going, okay, he's going to fall because that's the situation. He's going to fall. He's going to jump. He's going to leap. He's going to do something. And he's going to, I hope we can catch him. Mm-hmm. I hope we can be at that perfect place to catch him so he doesn't hit the ground.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what they were doing, is like, they're doing this little dance around him going, I hope we can catch him when he fully releases, because he was in this transition process for a long time. But they were doing this dance like, I hope we can catch him, because there's just enough openings for him to fall through that he will run wild. He'll just go.
Yeah.
And then we have to chase him, and then we have to try and catch him. Then we have to try and convince him to come with us. If we can just catch him when he goes, we can carry him to where he needs to be, so he can get the healing that he needs, because he's going to enter. Just like when you're born, you're like, what the heck is happening? I'm freaking out. I don't know what's going on. Why is it so bright in here? Like, what's, I'm covered in goo. What is going on here? So same thing, you release and you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And if we can just catch you instead of having you hit the floor, we can take you to a place where you can get some healing and some rest and transition. And then you can come back and go, oh, okay, I remember all this. All right, I'm ready to go.
Right.
But there's so many times that it just perfect whatever happens, and they slip through. And that's part of their process and their journey, too. But they get stuck, or they get, So anyway, that hopefully, there's so many ways, because there's so many ways to die and so many emotions and energies around it.
Yeah, oh, there's lots of things going on in the chat.
Okay, I've been talking and not looking at the chat room.
No, that's okay. No, first of all, Gina said something about, I like what Christiane Northrup says, happy, healthy, dead. May we all be so lucky.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But not today. And then Swanee's talking about, isn't that what happened in the Cottage Grove case a couple years ago? The woman died unexpectedly and didn't know she was dead.
Yeah, yep.
So that must have been one of your cases.
Yep, and we had to go in and explain to her, guess what? This is, well, and you don't necessarily say you're dead, because that's a bit,
you're not here.
It's just, you have to kind of work them into the understanding of, you know, hey, and so it takes some time, you know, you're talking someone off the ledge, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, they, because, and people that are in an altered state, whether it's medically induced, you know, with drugs, or if it's self, you know, subscribe to drugs, you know, they're doing their own recreational drugs or whatever, that can alter the process and put someone in a state of not being aware or not able to fully transition. Mm-hmm. You know, someone that's in Alzheimer's, you know, and that such confusion, that can alter the transition process. So it's hard. It's hard to talk to people who just want that, happy, healthy, dead.
Happy, healthy, dead.
Just boom and done, all good. It isn't like that. And there's so many different places we could go, or different directions we could go.
Yeah. So then Ghost Dan says, there have been countless stories of people arriving at their destinations even though they had died on their way.
What? I don't get that.
Countless stories of people arriving at their destinations even though they died on their way. So are you saying that they were traveling somewhere and passed away and then they ended up there? I guess I don't know.
Yeah. I'm confused, but
yeah, so
follow up with us and we'll
clarify.
Occupation
calling of a death doula is so interesting. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what we're talking about, is someone that can help with that transition.
Yeah.
Just like it's like I was saying, there's
a birth doula.
Birthing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same thing. You're helping someone in, you're helping someone out. You know, it's like you're helping, you know, that, I mean, I think it would be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not a death doula and I don't know what death doulas do, but I know what I do when I'm working with someone who's transitioning or in hospice, and it's really helping explain the process of here's, you know, and I was, when I've worked with people in hospice and they have nurses there, and they'll hand out booklets to the family, like here, so that you understand what's happening to your loved one, because we don't, unless we're used to seeing it, we get shocked sometimes at some of the things that a human body does as it's transitioning. And it can be really confusing and painful. And we don't understand. And so they hand out booklets for this because they're like, you need to understand that this is actually normal for this to happen. And so I can imagine, I'm guessing, and if I'm not speaking into a death doula correctly, I'm sure someone will correct me. But I would imagine it's just like a birth doula and just helping someone
transition,
figure it out. And here's what happens. This is not uncommon, or, hey, this isn't common, but I know how to handle it. You know, so someone that is calm through this process and has seen it so many times that they can help everybody that's in this, in the process. So,
So Ghost Dance is saying yes. So people who are on their way somewhere living and then they pass away and they still end up there after they've died, the spirit still arrived. They didn't know they had walked on or passed away.
Oh, I get it.
So that's interesting.
But nobody can see them. Maybe they get there and they're like, why isn't anybody saying hi to me? I would expect that would happen.
If you don't know and you're just, you know, killed in a car accident or whatever, and you just end there, all of a sudden you're there. I get it.
Gina said, Heidi, you're right. We as a family got a booklet at the family, at the hospital with her mother-in-law. Oh yeah. Well, and and I've been with a lot of hospice patients and they've asked me to come to hospitals or to their, assisted living, centers or whatever, wherever they're located, hospice centers. And, they want to make sure the family, because this isn't something a lot of people go through on a regular or ever sometimes.
No.
And so it's shocking, you know, and I've seen a lot of family members start to freak out because they're like, hey, how come you aren't doing this for my uncle anymore or my mother or whatever? Like, they get crazy with the nurses. They're like, why aren't you doing this anymore? It's like, well, we can't.
Yeah.
Like,
they're passing away.
It's not.
You know, they do a really good job of prepping. You know, when my mom passed away all those years ago, she was at home. And we had a nurse that came in and, you know, told us what to look for. This is what's going to happen. It was the hardest thing I've ever gone through, honestly. But at the same time, it's good that they prep you for this. And we, you know, all of us kids were with my mom when she passed away. And then, you know what? It snowed and she loved snow. And it was in February. It was almost like it's snow for my mama. And then when Dad died 3 months later, unexpectedly, and I think he died of a broken heart, really. That's what I say. But he fell and hit his head and had damage. But when he died, that was very unexpected because we didn't know he just gave up, right? Yeah. So he was in the hospital, and I just remember my sister-in-law coming to the house and saying, I'm going to stay with Casey. You've got to get out to the hospital right now. And because we had just went through this with my mom, you know, it was kind of the same thing with Dad. And I almost think my mom was there waiting for him. You know, it was almost like we could feel her, you know?
Yeah.
So nonetheless, it's still quite an experience.
It is. And it's just, but it's interesting too, watching it from, you know, and being able to assist people as they're going through the transition and assist the family, you know, because I remember with my grandmother when she was in hospice and my family had asked if I would come out and kind of give them inside scoop, like what's happening.
Yeah.
And so I went out and I sat with her and I could see. And so I would be able to tell like who was there. And I mean, it's only because it was really strong with that. And I don't know if it's because it was my grandmother or because I'm related to her, because sometimes it's not that strong. But I could see different people that were coming through, and I could tell how far away your spirit guides were. And I could do this from here. Once I'd been out there, and I didn't have to go out there, but anytime I would get a text, like, has anything changed? And I would remote view in, and I would look, and I could see, are her spirit guides in the same place? Have they moved in? If they've moved in, she shifted. You know, even if the doctors don't know anything, I can tell something's different because her spirit guides are closer. Mm-hmm. And usually it would line up pretty close with the doctors and what they were saying, like, oh, you know, this has stopped working, or this is shutting down, or whatever. So, but I could see, you know, if they were further away, I'm like, nah, she's still, you know, there was a gal, I can't remember who I was talking to, and they said, it was a client, and she was like, oh, and I think it was her mom. She keeps saying she's ready to go. And remotely, I just automatically went over to her mom, and I have no idea who her mom is, but all she said was her mom was, you know, ready to go. And I tapped in. I'm like, are you kidding? Her spirit guides aren't even in the scene. And of course her spirit guides are there, but for that piece of it, they're not even close. I'm like, oh, she's not going anywhere right now. I'm like, they're like, they're over there filing their nails.
Thinking, spirit guides are like, it's not time yet.
Yeah. I'm just answering email over here. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. She's okay. I'm like, she's not going anywhere.
I love it.
So I'm like, she's not going anywhere. And they're like, really? She's really sick. I'm like, well, she looks like she's going to get better. Or she's going to, you know, they're like, no, she's going to hang in there for a while or get better. I don't know what to tell you. And then she said, she's like, oh my gosh, that's happened quite a few times that she's recovered and gotten better. We thought she would be a loser. I'm like, here's another one. Because I could just, you can see, which I think is interesting, how close someone's spirit guides are, because they're doing that, you know, we're going to catch her. Are we going to catch her? Like, you know, and sometimes people transition and they go, they like, hey, spirit guides. Oh, is this what's happening? Okay, cool. And then they go and do whatever they got to do. But sometimes you get runners and they're like, or they just slip through the cracks and off they go and you got to chase them down. So, anyway, so let me see if I've caught up with the questions here. Anyway, no, I think we're caught up.
I think we have some things. Okay, here. So Ghost Dan says, what are your thoughts about young children who talk about who they were in previous lives and are able to identify previous homes, relatives, and in some case, their killers?
What?
They've been reading killed.
Here we go.
And Braden's asking about a comment above. I didn't see that either. But okay, so let's go back to this Ghost Dance about killers. That's very interesting.
Well, this is almost stretching into past lives.
Right.
Yeah, and reincarnation. And so do I believe that exists? Absolutely. I absolutely do. Could you ever prove something like that? No. I mean, it would be hard to, you know, have a 6-year-old say, this is the name of the guy that killed me in my past life. I mean, if you can find a police officer to take that and go with it, bless them, you know, go for it. I'd love for police officers to
So you think if this is happening, that that child was killed in a previous life and maybe there was no transition, they just jumped into another life right away? Because you've talked about that.
Yeah.
You've talked about Reiki sessions with people who haven't transitioned or spent any time resting in between lives, that they just jumped right into another life. Maybe they came back for a reason, and that is to catch the killer of their previous life.
Well, but more because of they didn't follow the rules, because you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And so did they hijack someone's body? That was a soul that was supposed to go in, because they've got a score to settle.
Yes.
They are out for revenge or whatever.
Exactly.
Not what we're supposed to be doing when we're coming back. No. That's like, nope. So that from what I've seen, not cool to do that, because,
and I know you've talked about that in the past,
probably hijacked someone else's ride.
Yeah.
So that's not cool. And for that reason, that's not why we come back. We don't come back to get revenge or to, you know, justice will somehow be served. If not in this life, then whatever, if they have to go atone or whatever, like we talked about in the beginning, then that's what needs to be done. But if someone just hops right back into a body, they didn't get to do any of their in-between,
learning and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, every time you get done with a life, I mean, from my understanding, is you got to review. It's like you take the class, and at the end of the class, you have to meet with the teacher, and they're going to go, well, here's how you did on the class. Here's what we have to work on. This was not your strong suit here, you know, but this, you did pretty good here. And this is like, we're going to work on this. And so anyway, not cool on that one.
It isn't cool. So Braden is saying there are documentaries where they are able to track down specific information that a child has from a past life.
Yeah.
Like do this.
Oh, but, yeah.
And Ghost Dance is saying rules. And then, of course, Gina is writing Pirates of the Caribbean, more of a guideline. Thank you.
Right. Well, obviously, it's a rule that is, rules are broken. Right. You know, that's the deal. Right. Do they frown upon it? Absolutely. Yes. But do people do it anyway? Yes, they do. Yes. So, yeah, Jack Sparrow would probably do it. He'd be hopping into the next body and looking for revenge. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But, there are documentaries and people have, you know, validated a kid saying this, I was the World War II pilot and whoever that kid was. I remember that happens, but that's a different topic. I guess that's more of that past life energy that we're talking about. So now Superfan Anita has a question. How do some people transitioning see their guides and others don't? It just depends on where they're at, what they're supposed to see, what they don't. They may not know they're seeing their spirit guides. You know, this man that we visited, the 95-year-old, I didn't see his spirit guides. I know they were there, but who is actually waiting for him and going to help him transition are four women that have passed on ahead of him in his life. And we saw, Tim and I, when we went back the second time, we saw the four women. One was his wife, one was his mother, one was his wife's mother, and one was his sister. And we went to them afterwards and said, here's four women, here's who they are, they're waiting for you. And he said, yes, I'm glad to hear it because those are the four that I pray for every week at church. I send to the preacher or the priest, I say, I put their names in for the community prayers. And I said, well, they're hearing you, they are aware that you're praying for them, and they are with you actually right now. So they're actually going to be helping him transition. Mm-hmm. And his spirit guides are there, but it's like those four are up front more than his spirit guides are, because I don't know, they get to, or the spirit guide said, sure, you guys can come on in or whatever. It's
right.
So he isn't necessarily seeing them, but I'm seeing them, but he's seeing other things.
Yeah.
And some might be his spirit guides, because I don't know everything he's seeing, but he might be seeing his spirit guides and not realizing it.
Right.
We think of spirit guides as being having a certain look to them or people that we know, and that's not how it is. Spirit guides are not necessarily humans. They've been human. But our idea of what a spirit guide is might be different, and that's why we might not realize what we're seeing is maybe it is our spirit guides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Karen is asking, and how do you know they are or aren't? So what does a spirit guide look like, Heidi?
Well, that's the thing, is your spirit guides, and it depends on who you are, because for me, I don't see my spirit guides in a human form. I see energy, and I can sense the energy of my spirit guides, and so I know that's who they are, and I've worked with them for a long time. A long time ago, I didn't know who they were, so it freaked me out. But working with them over the years and understanding that everything that I've gotten for them has been out of a place of unconditional love and has not been to hurt myself or anyone else, has always been for my highest good. And not that I liked it, but I didn't always do things that were good for myself. So those are my spirit guides, and they don't have form. Like some people, I meet people that have a Buddhist monk, and they have this Native American medicine man, and they have this, and those are their spirit guides. And this spirit, and I'm like, oh, that's fancy and good. That's great. But I think they need that to be able to connect and understand that that's who they are. I don't think, because if you think of a spirit guide is an eternal soul, just like us, they've incarnated how many times? So to put that one form on them, it doesn't make any sense, because that doesn't define who they are as a soul. They've been many. So, but I think some people need that because it helps them. It helps their brain like sync up, you know, it helps them connect. So when I see spirit guides and people are like, who are my spirit guides? I'm like, well, there's these four blobs standing around you of energy. Yeah. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
You know, sorry, let down, wah, wah. You know, there's your, like, that's not what anybody wants to hear. It's not exciting. But, you know, and then it's not always like that, because then I tell people that, and then I have the spirit guide that Tim and I work with, and he has form, and he presents as a certain figure, and that's how he does it. And I don't know why he's different, but he is different, so that's why. So people don't always know what they're seeing, because their spirit guides may not present in a way that we would expect them to look like, if that makes sense. That was a long answer.
Totally.
Let's get back to these questions in the chat room here. Let's see here. Some of this is, we're getting into a little bit of like reincarnation stuff here too. So we'll maybe skip some of that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that, thank you, Gina. She said that description was helpful. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. It's just, it's an interesting topic. It's an interesting, you know, and if there's anything you guys have around this topic that you'd like us to continue at another show, you know, if there's a piece of it that we could go deeper with, please send it to us or let us know somehow, because I know that this is an interesting subject, and to cover it in an hour is not always doable.
Not enough, yeah.
So, and we've gotten a ton of stuff in the chat room, so hopefully we, if we caught everything, I hope that's the goal.
Spirit guides, Gina keeps saying.
Spirit guides. We could do a show on spirit guides. That's always a good one.
We could. Yeah, we could.
Yeah, I don't think we've done one for a long time.
We have not done one, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah, we could do another show on reincarnation.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got a couple of topics for upcoming. That's cool.
Yeah.
But the death, and I mean, we didn't even cover the half of it with the death, the process. But you know, we got some of the general info out there. I think that's,
well, it's just such a multidimensional subject. You know what I mean? And it's just,
and we look at it from usually the human side, and this is going at it from more of the spirit side.
Yeah.
You know, and, and that, you know, is such a vast topic. Again, we didn't cover nearly all of it. But anyway, I think it's interesting. And, you know, it's just, it's hard to work with people that, and I know we need to go. It's hard to work with people that you can't give them the answer that they want, that everything's peaceful and good on the other side. It's like, well, no, sometimes we have work to do before we get to go. So
maybe that means we should do a lot of work here on Earth so that when we die, we can just be peaceful.
That's not how it happens.
Yep. Okay.
All right. So we got to get going.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight.
It was fun. It was fast again.
It was fun and fast. And tune in next week. And we'll have one of our topics, listener topics here again.
We have to decide which one that will be. But we will, for sure.
And thank you to Pair X Network. Thank you to Sarge, our awesome producer, and all of you in the chat room tonight. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you. We'll talk to you next week. Sorry, I'm reading at the same time. We will be on the same place, same channel next week.
Next week. We'll see y'all then. Have a good night.
Bye-bye, everyone.